Okay. Well, thank you, Sarah, Adrian, and Topher for leading us in singing. I think the song connects very well with the message for today. And I think I should, before I begin, I should just say we're really pleased to be a part of this community, and especially today being the first Sunday, technically, as the pastor, the minister here. I'm really pleased, and it gives us a tremendous amount of joy and privilege. So I look forward to being with part of this community and serving and working together. So here's to a fun time of ministry together. So with that said, with that out of the way, not really good formal talk, so let me get that out of the way and get into the sermon. Our text for today is taken from Mark, Mark chapter 1. And I think, let me just say a few words as we enter this new sort of new series, new season. As you are well aware, our theme for this year as a church has been mission. And we have just concluded the section on Acts last week. I think we have, I think we all remember that we have also looked at the Old Testament characters before that. We have looked at how God's mission had extended right from the beginning. And we have looked at how the characters played their roles in the mission of God. And of course, in the book of Acts, we looked at the disciples. We looked at how the mission of Jesus Christ was continued by the disciples, and specifically focusing on Paul, right? The person who, zoning in on that person and the way that he lived his life on mission. And as we continue on the theme of mission, I thought that for this new season, this chapter, as we close, approach the end of the year, I thought we would look at who better than Jesus, right? And so for this new season, this new phase, new chapter, we're looking at the life of Jesus, and we're looking at Jesus as a life on mission. So we keep the backdrop of mission in our mind as we look at the life of Jesus. And just a few words about this theme. I thought it would be beneficial for us to really zone in and focus on Jesus, the person himself, because we know that Jesus was the missionary, right? He was sent by God. He was the one who was sent to rescue all of us, to rescue humanity, to rescue all of creation. And so we want to look at Jesus as the person who lived this this life of mission. And for and we also know that Jesus understood that he was sent by the Father. Everything that he did, he understood that he was commissioned by the Father. He understood his works, his words, even from his childhood, he understood that he was sent by the Father. And his life was lived in a life of mission. So that I think that really piques our interest as far as what is in our journey to understand what is mission, what is God's mission all about. And for this few 2 months, really, as we look at the life of Jesus, we want to focus on his works and his activities, the events, really. I was scanning through the sermon series that Ictus has been going through, and I noticed that there has been emphasis on the teachings of Jesus Christ, like the Beatitudes, for example, or the sayings of Jesus, the parables of Jesus, about the words, the teachings of Jesus Christ. And I thought that it would be a good complement to that angle to look at the actions of Jesus Christ as well, the activities of Jesus Christ, his life. And so we want to look at what he did, how he reacted. I mean, there's not a lot of time to dive into that, but as much as we can, to look at the events that Jesus went through in his life. And part of that being with the desire to know Jesus more, to see how he embodied and he enacted the mission, not just with words, but his works as well, his activities as well, the things that he did. And so as we pursue to follow Jesus better in our life, I think that would give us a more well-rounded perspective of who Jesus was and how he lived. Also, I thought as we think about our own mission, I thought it might be a good way to look at Jesus's works and activities. And it might help us to think and challenge our own lives towards a life on mission. So not just our works, not just what we say, but even the things that we do. To use a big word, to move beyond what is ecclesiastical, the four walls of the church, to being in the world, to being part and parcel out there as we live our lives through our works and through our actions. So I thought it might be a good way to energize us towards that life of mission as well. So that's the intent behind this short series that we're going to look at, Jesus Alive on Mission. Today's text and today's focus is on one trademark of Jesus' life. And right off the bat, right off the opening act of Jesus' life, we see that Jesus makes disciples. Jesus made disciples. He called people to follow him, to imitate him, to live like him. And so today's text, today's sermon is titled, Jesus Makes Disciples. And let me just read the text for us for today. You can follow me along in your Bible or in your screens, or just listen along as I read. But it's from Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. Mark chapter 1, 16 to 20. So let me read that. I'm reading from English Standard Version. It's titled, Jesus Calls the First Disciples. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Perhaps this is a well-known text for all of us or many of us. It talks about the events surrounding Jesus calling the first disciples. And as I mentioned, the not literally the first things that Jesus did, but one of the first things that he did, as I mentioned, was that he inaugurated a community of disciples. And we see the story is pretty simple. Jesus calls and they followed, right? Jesus calls them to follow him and the disciples follow him in a remarkable way. They dropped their nets, left their father and their livelihood and just followed Jesus. And again, this seems to be one of the trademark of Jesus, that he always had disciples following him. To put it very concisely, I guess, what we see here is that the disciples agreed to a different direction in their life, to a different way of life. And as visible from this text, they were fishermen and then they gave up that vocation or that persuasion in their life and they chose to follow Jesus Christ. Of course, we are also told that this is in keeping with the tradition in Judea. The rabbis would have disciples following them, learning the way of the master, the way of the teacher, listening to them, hanging out with them, wherever they go, observing them, all that stuff. But we see here that Jesus calls the disciples and they follow him. I wanted to focus in and ask the question, why is this important for us? Why do you think this is important for us? And I would like to do a bit of digression here and talk about another trademark of Jesus. Okay, another trademark of Jesus. And I think this helps us to understand what Jesus is asking from the disciples. And that trademark is that Jesus prays. Jesus was, we see all along in Jesus' life, another trademark of his that he would take time out to spend time with the Father. Like in the mornings, right? He would, before dawn, it's often said, he would go to the mountain to spend time with the Father to pray. We're not given the details of what happens in those occasions, but Jesus would often spend time with the Father in prayer. And what that tells us is that Jesus was completely obedient to the Father. He was completely dependent on the Father. We mentioned earlier that Jesus was a missionary. He lived a life as a missionary. To be a missionary means, to be alive on mission means to be sent, right? And Jesus understood that he was sent by the Father. And all the thing, all the purpose, all the sense of direction in his life comes from the Father. He knew that very clearly. And so in chapter 2, verse 13, we are told that Jesus, before it was dawn, he went up to the mountain, he retreated to a quiet place to pray. This shows that Jesus was completely dependent on the Father. He acknowledged the Father. He honored the Father. He seeks after the Father, the will of the Father. And he was always in communion with the Father, God the Father. He knew that he was commissioned, he was sent by the Father. He wanted to obey the Father to the dot. To the point that he, at one point in John, he tells his disciples, my foot is to do the will of the Father, right? I think you remember that part. My foot is to do the will of the Father. Everything that I'm about is obedience to the Father. And I think what I'm trying to draw here with being a disciple and what Jesus did is, I think there are two complementary essentials of mission. One is gathering, that we come to the source of who sent us. And the other, obviously, is sending, right? If you look at the words of Jesus, we see both things happening. He always says, come, come to me, come to me. But at the same time, he always says, go, right? There's a both dynamic of coming and going, gathering and sending. A centripetal thing going on, a centrifugal thing going on as well. As we are drawn and brought to God's presence, we are also sent out. And so when we put this in light of what Jesus was demanding from the disciples were invited to gather to Jesus. The disciples were invited to say like Jesus, to say, my foot is to do your will. I want to obey you. I want to follow you. To obey Jesus, just like Jesus obeyed the Father. To look to Jesus, just like Jesus looked to the Father. To follow the will of Jesus, just as Jesus obeyed the will of the Father. And so in that light, the responses of the disciples make sense, right? They left everything, they followed Jesus Christ. This talks about a new direction. Now they have a new answer to the question of who are you following? Whose will are you following in your life? Who decides the decisions for you? For the disciples now, it's not their life of fishermen being a fisherman any longer. It's Jesus Christ who they're following, the will of Jesus Christ. Now, I think it's worth mentioning at this point that the disciples, when they decided to follow Jesus, they did not fully understand everything that was going on. And we know this because the disciples often messed up. They often had misunderstanding with Jesus. Jesus meant this and they thought this side otherwise. And that gives us a bit of an encouragement to us as well. You might be thinking now, okay, I want to follow Jesus, but what does that mean? I think what Jesus demands or requires of us today is not to know everything, to have all the plans charted out in front of us, but just to be able to say, okay, I want to follow you. Jesus, show me how. And I think once we accept with that response, Jesus will lead us and he will guide us. And so, like Jesus who gathers to the Father, we are also invited to gather and to follow Jesus. And I think it's important for us as we reflect on mission, because the two dynamics of mission is that we are first gathered and then we are sent out. I think sometimes there's an unhealthy emphasis on either. We are either too focused on gathering without being sent out. Sometimes we feel like we are sent out, but we don't gather enough. We don't gain our resources, our sources, energy, our spiritual strength from being gathered to Jesus Christ. I think there has to be an equal balance of this gathering and sending, coming and going. I would like to look at another text in relation to this, and that comes from Mark chapter 2, verse 13 to 17. Mark chapter 2, verse 13 to 17. And let me read that out as well for us. You can follow me along. Mark chapter 2, 13 to 17. Jesus went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And as he inclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Another remarkable thing that sort of colors this new community of disciples that we see in this text, Jesus gathers people to follow him, but he doesn't just gather individuals. He gathers us into a community. He doesn't gather disciples to follow him in isolation, in individual aspects, but he invites us to follow him as a community, as a what the New Testament later calls the body of Christ. And this remarkable thing, the remarkable thing about this new community is that it's not marked by any of the previous standards like ethnicity or religious markers or class or even vocational position. This new community is marked by just the sheer response to the invitation to follow Jesus. And that's really all that is the marker of this criteria. Have they said yes to follow Jesus or not? So Jesus gathers people around him to follow him, and Jesus gathers us into a community. I think there's a lot that we could say just from this Mark chapter 2, this powerful text, but I think I will leave it at that for today. But I would like to just draw a few words of conclusion, a few maybe takeaways or a few implications of that. And firstly, it is this, that as we think about mission, we remind ourselves that Jesus saw his mission as making disciples. He saw that he was sent to this world, and how he went about accomplishing this mission is by making disciples, by inviting people to follow him, to come to him, to gather to him. And we remember that this invitation is extended to all people. We're invited to follow Jesus. And secondly, we remind ourselves that before we are sent, we are first gathered. Before we are sent out to bless the world, we are first called to Jesus to follow him. And for Jesus as well, he understood this very clearly in Mark chapter 2, as I hinted. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, as I hinted earlier. He rose up early in the morning. He went to pray by himself in a desolate place. And Simon came to him and said, "Lord, what are you doing? Like, there are so many people who need you. There are so many sick people who need healing. What are you doing here?" And classic Jesus reaction. He didn't even respond to that. He just moved away. I think he understands very clearly that his sentness, his effectiveness in the mission is as powerful as he is close to God. He's gathered to God. In other words, his sentness is directly linked to his gathering to the Father, coming to the Father. I think we do well to remember that as well in our life as disciples. Our sentness, our mission, our effectiveness in our life of mission is as effective as we are close to God, we are connected to God. And so I think practically speaking, what that means is that every time we gather with the deliberate desire to know and to understand God's will, I think that's where we are gathering. And sometimes that's effective, sometimes that's less effective, but every time we gather with a deliberate desire to know and to understand God's will, to know God better, I think that's where we are gathering to him. And so we do well to remember that before we are sent, we're first gathered. And thirdly, as we gather, we remember that we are gathering together, not just me in isolation. We're gathering together, maybe in this form of this church or in the form of your family or just among your friends. We're gathering together. And to be sure, we're not making disciples, my disciples and your disciples in this dynamic. We're making disciples of Jesus. We're all part together, making disciples of Jesus. So I think the question is that as we understand our role in this gathering, whether we can supplement each other's decision to follow Jesus, or maybe we could, God forbid, but we could be like the Pharisees who were hindering people from following Jesus because of their whatever reasons they have. They were hindering people's decisions to follow Jesus. But I think the opposite is what we want to be. We want to supplement and encourage people in their journey of following Jesus. And I think that's what we are trying to do really as we meet Sunday after Sunday, or as we have our fellowships, or as we meet in our families or among our friends. We are trying to supplement, support, and in some cases, bring people to the knowledge of Jesus so that they can also share in this journey of following Jesus. So to encourage and to build one another up. So that's just something, that's what I would like to bring and share to us, that Jesus makes disciples and he invites us to follow him, first of all, and to gather to him first, that we may get a sense of who he is and what he's sending us out into the world for. Thank you for listening, and may God help us all to be disciples of Jesus. Back to Topher.